Wednesday, December 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're again in 1 Kings chapter 12 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, A Religion of Convenience.
And worship Him in the new heavens and new earth with no more of this. What is true on the inside, when we've come to the Lord and listened to Him, is a truth that is according to His word in worship. That's the key. Is His word the center of our lives in worship? Does His word guide us and instruct us? That means we have to blow the dust off the Bibles in our lives.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Line. Judah was the line in Judah. Under Rehoboam, the Lord says to Jeroboam under this, if Jeroboam, now listen, this is so amazing of the Lord's mercies here, if you will listen to my word and my command and walk in my ways and do what is right in my eyes, not on your own, the Lord promises surprisingly to Jeroboam, not of the Davidic line, that I will be with you. And I will build you a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. There was always a call to remain loyal to the Lord. Whenever we face divided times, that call always remains, doesn't it? That His people's hearts would turn back to Him, that His people's hearts would consider, and then that great mercies would follow. And that there would actually be healing. There would actually be unity. But what do people do? They rule by the dictates of their own hearts. The great danger at moments like this. Now, all that sets this up tonight. The question is, what does Jeroboam do after all that call and after this division? What a moment for the leader to unify Israel. What a moment to return the people to the Lord, to break free from Solomon's sin. And that's what makes what happens totally surprising. Instead of deep humility, instead of repentance, for saying, how did we get into this mess? He had a moment to unite them and bring them back to the Lord. And that is just as relevant today. And here's where the Spirit puts the spotlight. We read in verse 25 that then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. But here it comes. Here's the big phrase. And Jeroboam said in his heart. Stop, 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 stop. What? Whenever you turn inward and you seek your own heart, there is the path of folly. It's all throughout the scriptures. It should have said, and then Jeroboam sought the word of the Lord. Completely absent. He does one of the worst things he could have done. He sought counsel where? Within himself. Beloved, that's always a telltale sign of a great sin happening in Israel. When everyone is doing what's right in their own hearts and in their own eyes. And that's why the kingdom's divided. That's why we got to where we are. Jeroboam knows the hostility and the problem that's in front of him. I've got a divided kingdom. I don't know what to do. What the Lord had just promised was, if you follow me with your whole heart, Israel will be established. But he turns to his own heart and he begins to reason there. It's pragmatism at its best. What will work? Now, the kingdom is going to turn back to the house of David if I send my people into Jerusalem to go to the temple because that's where worship happens. If they go to the temple, if they go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, their hearts will turn to Rehoboam. Now, in the midst of this division, God had never appointed a different place of worship. The temple was holy ground. It was not to be a war zone. No king would have dared done that. And if they did, they would have been in trouble. But you see the dilemma. I can't have them going there. Notice that there was no regard in going to Jerusalem that the people's loyalty here, what was he concerned about? That the people's loyalty, telltale sign, he was worried, was to either Rehoboam or to him. He had no sense that the people's loyalty belonged to the Lord. To the Lord. Not him. Not Rehoboam. Essence of idolatry. So it says he took counsel, and here's what he did. He made 2 calves of gold. And he said to the people, "You've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. That's it. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The house of bondage is the language. If you trace this passage, what you'll notice is it says over and over and over, he made, he made, he made, he made. This is a great study in the moment of the human heart and of the problem of idolatry. You know what idolatry is? We read it tonight in the Heidelberg. It's anything that you set up. It's anything that in all of these difficulties of life and all these hardships where you take counsel in your heart and you begin to devise your own way and you follow that. We sang the song in the 90s, "Listen to Your Heart." Bad song. Anything you trust. And when there are divisions, we should ask, which way are we turning? What idolatry is being exposed? What are we holding on to? And what we see is that he takes a worse course of action. He essentially creates, beloved, a religion of convenience. A man-made religion. It's remarkable what you see here. There's so much to learn. When people hold on to sin, when people's hearts are not loyal to the Lord, the telltale sign is to create something that mirrors true religion. You can see this all throughout history to this day. It mirrors the true. It's formed around the true, but it's not shaped and formed according to the word of the Lord. That's the crucial point about, and that's how you determine all true worship. It avoids at all costs the call to return to him with a whole heart. It's to create what Paul calls a form of godliness that denies its power, a form, a man-made form. So here's what happened. Isn't this remarkable what it shows? He made new gods. That's a chilling verse that he took these gods of gold and he set them up on the borders of his territory from Dan all the way to Beersheba. It's the borders of the land so they wouldn't have to go into Rehoboam's territory for worship. And it became sin, it says. Notice that. Because of what he proclaimed. And here's what he proclaimed. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Do you know where that's from? Those are Aaron's words. Remember? When Moses was up on the mountain and they took all their gold off and they threw it in the furnace and Israel out pops a golden calf and Aaron says, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Jeroboam now makes 2 of them with the same language. He goes further. And what that's saying to us is that the natural tendency of our hearts is to set up something that replicas the true and to offer it that's safer to us so that people don't have to return to the Lord. Jeroboam made new gods, and then notice what he did. He made temples, and he made new priests, new feasts to replica Israel's, and he made new sacrifices, and Bethel becomes the sort of new Jerusalem, and all these sacrifices take place there on new feast days that he commissioned, and he instituted a feast parallel to the prescribed feasts. The Feast of Booths was to be celebrated in the seventh month. Now notice, these are important details, was to be celebrated in the seventh month. Jeroboam made his feast to be celebrated in the eighth month. There's nothing wrong with throwing it off a month, is there? You see? And the altar, given like Aaron's, was devised after his own heart. And this is where I say it challenges us that this is no different today. Do you realize you could have a worship service that is entirely devised after your own heart today? You ever think about that? Devised by the heart with complete disregard for the word of the Lord, and that then launches all the people, the leadership, into false worship, and you've effectively been able to do this void of the word of God, but it so parallels true religion that if you criticize it, people can't see it. I worry about that. The forms of worship, you could really set up the church to be a theater. You could preach a sermon, but it has little interest in God's word and really diving into his inspired word. It's entirely backed by the wants of the people. You've never truly heard the word of God proclaimed to you. You've had a form of worship that's happened that has completely bypassed sin and judgment of the Holy Spirit's great convictions, sin and judgment, right? And you can make a message today that never really gets to your real needs in life. It's just handcrafted and hand-tailored to pander to what you want. And it's light and it's easy, and you're never really confronted with the holiness of God. You never really have to bow your head in repentance and faith. You never have to confess any sin. You never have to look to Jesus. And it has a great form of worship and godliness. It's an alternate religion. And people think they're worshiping God. And then they wonder why there's division all around us, right? The division came from God. Because of this stuff. And it's in the midst of this that God sends a prophet. He always does. This is how wonderful he is. He always sends a prophet to call people back. As Jeroboam is worshiping this man of God, the pastoral epistles pick this up when they talk, "O man of God," talking about the minister. It picks it up. This is a sent servant. Oh, the man of God comes and cries out, still God stretches out his arms. "O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David." And who is mentioned here? Josiah by name. "And he shall sacrifice on you, the priests of the high places, and make your offerings in you. You will be the sacrifice of judgment. Human bones shall be burned on you." Josiah was the great king of Reformation. And remember what happened? Hilkiah one day, this is just amazing. All these years later, Hilkiah is in the temple, doing some work in the temple. And he says to Shaphan, the secretary, "Look, I found this book in the temple. It's dusty. It's covered in dust." And Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan opened it and read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he ripped his clothes. "Great is the wrath of the Lord kindled." That's why we're all divided up. We've not listened to his word at all. And Josiah is a highlight in the history of reforming the church back to the Word of God. And the Passover was again celebrated. That hadn't been celebrated in years. Isn't that something? They didn't even have a value for the Passover. It's kind of like today when people have no value for the supper. Something's gone wrong. Second Kings, this is what happened when Josiah came. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that altar with the high place he pulled down and he burned it, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount, looking at Jeroboam's. He sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them, just as this is pronounced here, burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed who had predicted these things so many years previous. The king cries out, Jeroboam, seize him. His hand goes, dries up. Judgment had fallen. And then you read the rest of this story, shows the power of the word of God to restore his hand. But it's not a good ending here. Now, do you see why all that tonight, to close this out, why the Bible wants to give attention to the problem of idolatry? Under the guise of worship, what are we holding on to? You could go through the list, right? Human ambition, covetousness, sexual morality. What are we bowing to? Money. What are we serving? What is it that we're proud about? All of this tells us tonight, you say, what's the hope here? Well, that we need a good king. That we need a true king. That we need a king whose righteousness would deliver the people, right? To save us from all this idolatry in our lives and deliver us from it. And we're about to enter a season of celebrating the birth of Christ, and you open up Matthew, and what is the great celebration? The king has come from the Davidic line, promised to David. And the good news that's announced is he will turn the hearts of his people back to him. And you see, that's what we need. We need a true king whose heart is loyal to the Lord. We need a true king whose righteousness covers the people. It's amazing how the sin of leaders affects the people. It's amazing how the sin of Adam got us in all this mess. It's amazing how the righteousness of one delivers us from it all. And that was the promise. And that the Lord in the new covenant would turn hearts that are true to him. Remember what he said to the woman at the well? I'm not seeking for you anymore to go to Jerusalem or on that mountain. I am seeking, God is seeking, worshipers who do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. And you see, what that means is that what is internally in us is true. That we're honest worshipers, that we're worshiping in truth, which means according to his word. And the great work of the Holy Spirit in this age, even though we see much division and these same judgments happen, is that those true worshipers in spirit are one body, one faith, one baptism, with Christ at the head. And that when Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer that we would be one, you're going to see this fulfilled in glory where there's no more division ever anywhere. And that that was his work in bringing together a people of all tribes and tongues and nations and uniting them together, and we will enjoy the land and worship him in the new heavens and new earth with no more of this. What is true on the inside, when we've come to the Lord and listened to him, is a truth that is according to his word in worship. That's the key. Is his word the center of our lives in worship? Does his word guide us and instruct us? That means we have to blow the dust off the Bibles in our lives, right? Did you notice the judgment pronounced on Jeroboam? The sacrifices would be on him for judgment. You know what your king did? He became that for you. He was laid on the altar for you. He was punished for you to forgive all your rebellion. That means you're set free from idolatry. And that shows in your worship, and that shows in giving and coming to the Lord and turning from these things. Stop putting our trust in these things. May we learn what our divisions say and ensure that we have turned from our idolatry to worship the living God, considering him. And he promises he will restore us. He will build up Jerusalem as a people who worship in spirit and in truth. You know how the book of 1 John ends? Since this matters so much to the Lord, sometimes people say, oh, that's the Old Testament. You know how the book of 1 John ends? Little children, keep yourself from idols. It matters to him. May we worship God according to his word and honor him in truth and by the Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for instructing us in righteousness and in truth. Keep us from these things that we run to by seeking counsel in our hearts. There's a million idols we bow down to. And sin has great consequences. We are so grateful for the righteous King. Grateful that you fulfilled your word and sent us a king perfect in all his ways, without sin, who was laid on the altar and suffered the punishment due to us, that he, that the Father might, through that great work, seek for and find true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth, who give great care to the word of God. Help us, O Lord, in our weakness. And as that call comes in response for gratitude for such deliverance, keep us, O Lord, by your Spirit in our lives from idolatry and idols. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning in to us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time.